Thank you so much for listening. I'm Comic Tom, and this is the Bags and Boards Podcast. We are a group of collectors, enthusiasts, fans, entrepreneurs, and content creators who all love comic books. I hope you find our content unique and different. This podcast is sponsored by Mill Geek Comics, a brick and mortar out here in Washington State, as well as Geek Street Comics. If you're in need of a local comic shop, Mill Geek Comics is happy to supply any of your monthly comic book needs and ships across country and worldwide. We also have a comic book subscription service, the Mystery Mail Call, where I, Comic Tom, have the pleasure of sending out collectible comics monthly to you. You can sign up for that at geekstreet101.com. You can watch these podcasts on YouTube at ComicTom101. Follow me on all my social media platforms at ComicTom101. Quarter bin comic books. I love quarter bin comic books.
I do too, absolutely.
I love dollar bin comic books.
Dollar bin comics are good as well.
Not as good as 2 for $5.
Yeah.
Or 3 for $5.
But I'll do it depending where you're at. Yeah.
You know. But no, I had this actually, this was a kind of fun conversation because this was a fun thing that happened today. Because I got a text from you.
Fun for you, maybe.
Yeah, it's fun. Okay, it's not that it's fun for me because I'm in the same boat as you.
Oh,
probably
absolutely.
Not as bad. But
well,
it's
yeah,
just
right.
It's just funny how this happens because there's this kind of running joke that I think will never live down, which is that there will always be times where we look at our phone on eBay or we go on Instagram or we're on Facebook and someone posts something and we see a book that we've had 20 copies of in the last decade.
Yep.
30 copies of, a short box of, that we let go for a quarter.
Right.
A dollar. Mm-hmm. Heck, $5. It's the first domino.
Sure.
It's a cool $5 book.
Right. Totally.
You know,
who
no big deal. But, and then you go on and you're like, oh, wait a minute. What?
Right. First, Livewire is a $60 book now. I care about anything in Superman Adventures. What? But yeah, no, totally. They're these books that you're like, I wasn't paying attention to any of this. And it's not just Batman Adventures 12 for Harley Quinn. I mean, there are things that, you know, and sometimes you miss them, but oh my God.
It hurts.
It does.
And I think we should talk about them.
Yeah.
I'm your host, Comic Tom. I'm sitting here with Mr. Russ Bright.
Heyo.
Mill Geek Comics.
Yeah.
Let's talk art. Seller's regret. Let's talk about that.
Okay, so one of the things, I have probably 15 long boxes of quarter bins at the shop, and I've been running quarter bin comics at my shop for the past 6 years. And I like being able to run quarter bin comics, and pretty much my whole litmus test, my baseline for quarter bin comics, is if I can't sell it for more than $5 in a back issue bin, goes into the quarter bin.
Boom.
So I got a bunch of stuff that's $2, $3, $4, $5. Good stuff. People can look through there and you find Batman, you find Superman, you find Spider-Man, there's good stuff in my quarter bin because I don't want to have to go through the process of bagging and boarding and sorting and putting them in order just because someone is looking for an X-Men 384 because they need to complete their run. It's in the quarter bin. I don't even want to deal with it anymore.
Right.
But every time a new price guide comes out, I have to go through the quarter bin and price things because I want to make sure that something in the quarter bin didn't jump.
Is that just always a sad day for you?
It's can you tell? It hurts. Because there are points in time when they'll find things in the quarter bin. I mean, I threw a She-Hulk number one, the 1991 run, 90-80, whatever.
How is that book? I don't want to get into it.
It's $15.
How?
But it's $15.
How many times have you had that book?
A lot.
Like more than a lot.
50, totally. Easily.
Because I've had it easily 20 to 50 times.
It's a $15 book that I had in my quarter bin.
No one wanted it.
No.
Ever.
No one cares about it. Well, sorry. She-Hulk's mother cares about it. And She-Hulk cares about it a little bit.
She-Hulk cares so much about it that on the volume
she's
2,
she's a lawyer.
She, put
she
it
may
on the,
sue us.
On the cover.
That's the
that,
problem.
Right? Isn't it volume 2 that has her on the cover that's like, you're going to care about this book because no one bought the first one or something?
Right.
And she's
like,
holding the first one?
But buy this book or else I'll burn your comic book collection.
Yeah, something like that.
And then the final issue is like, I guess you didn't listen to me, suckers. And it's totally really just venomous of you didn't buy this. But yeah, now she's a lawyer and she'll sue the pants off of you for not buying her comic books.
I believe it.
But we have books like that. And I had someone go through my comment. I love it when someone rubs it in my face. I went through your quarter bin. I totally found this $10 book. Awesome. That's the last thing you're ever going to buy from my store. You know, I appreciate you.
Don't rub it in my face. Just take it out of the store.
Just take it as a given. Because we miss things. You know, it's going to happen. Yeah. You know, I touch thousands of comics every single day. I sorted through 5 long boxes today, and that was a minuscule part of what I did for the rest of the day, along with the new comics and the magic cards and a bunch of other things we did today. And they're just things that we miss.
Right.
I went to fantastic app, Key Collector. Great app. It's for Android. It's for iPhone. It's an app that I actually found them on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And it's this one where you go into the app. Their prices are a little bit wonky, but quite honestly, they are amazing.
The functionality of the app is very helpful.
You go to Amazing Spider-Man and it tells you every single appearance, and it's first Vulture and first this and first that. And then, you know, I'm getting these hot key alerts, and it gave me a notification last week that Spider-Man 263 or something like that is Normie Osborn, who's Norman Osborn's son, and it's supposedly spiking. But I went to eBay and they're like $1. So it's not really going, but it's kind of hype train, get prepared for what's happening.
What's the app name one more time?
It's called Key Collector.
Right. And I'm only mentioning that again because, you know, if there was a sponsorship that could be made.
We love this app. I use this app constantly.
It's very helpful.
And I share it with people at the shop all the time. Key Collector. It's absolutely one of the best apps. So we like the hot books. Before the Black Panther movie came out, they actually had here's the list of every single appearance of everyone in the Black Panther. And it's like, cool, here's Shuri's first appearance, and here's Killmonger's first appearance.
If you're at a convention and you're going through long boxes, it's a really handy app.
It's amazing because you'll be able to know, you know, where T'Challa's mother is, and, you know, the first appearance of Black Panther's grandmother's parakeet. I mean, it's in depth. It's amazing. But they've got these new hot books, and on the hot books, they had Marvel Age number 41.
So that's the I get a text from you,
right,
and you're like, holy shit, Tom, look up Marvel Age 21.
Right. I just wanted him to look at eBay
41.
And have his mind blow a little bit because, wow. For those of you who don't know, Marvel Age is Marvel's newsletter magazine that doesn't really talk about anything other than what's going on in the comic book Marvel industry, but it's not a comic book itself. It's more of like a newsletter.
Mm. But it's a comic.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's in comic book form. Right. It's in comic book form. And normally you have number 12, which is the first appearance of the black symbiote suit that turns into Venom. And that's worth, you know, $10-$12. And it's a big thing when you find that and that's in the run. And the rest of Marvel Age, you go, meh, and you kind of throw in the quarter bin. Or you give away. Or you, I don't know, do decoupage with it. I mean, you're like arts and crafts.
Yeah, no one's looking for this stuff except for maybe people making content or who just want, you know, to collect every Marvel
comic.
There's
some cool stuff.
There's a couple minor appearances, but for the most part,
I think there's a Dark Hawk appearance. There's an early Rocket Raccoon. I mean, there's a few things that are in there. So number 41 has Stan Lee on the cover.
Right.
And it's got Stan Lee all throughout, and Stan Lee does commentary.
This book's been around for a long time.
This book has been around since 1986, 1987, I think, one of those.
As has Stan. This nothing's changed.
He's been around for a very, very long time.
This isn't the only comic book he's on.
In the last week, raw prices we're seeing from $60 to $100 or more.
Crazy.
We have CGC certified ones for $600 that have sold. We have ones for over $1,000. And we're like, signed by Stan Lee. I understand he's in poor health and whatever. But raw, this book that I used to sell for $0.25, that I now will never again sell for $0.25, is selling for $60 to $80. I know I put a run of Marvel Age minus number 12 into my quarter bin about 3 months ago because I gave number 12 to you so you'd have all the black covers to be able to send out in the mystery mail call, right? And the rest of it just went in the bin because I didn't care. And someone went through and picked up all of them because they thought it was interesting. So I know there's a regular from my shop. I don't remember which one it was. But there was definitely a regular from my shop who picked the quarter bins and got you know, about 50 copies of Marvel Age. And that was one of the ones in there. So, hey, man, congratulations. That's great. I missed that one. It recently spiked. But there are other books, too. And some of these... Oh.
I mean, I've been doing this for close to a decade now, which is crazy to think about, but you've been doing this for a lot longer than that.
But professionally, a little over a decade.
But
I mean,
really
being a dealer.
But the way that this has gone over this last decade, I don't think it's ever been as aggressive for how prices have been.
No, not at all.
So over this last decade, we've seen books spike that were just, that just shock us. Mm-hmm. We've mentioned a couple of them so far, but this text message was followed up as we should chat about this one book, but we should also touch on a couple others and maybe just make a thumbnail with Infinity Gauntlet, X Factor number 6, right. You know? And yeah, like those are both examples too. Like there's a handful of these keys that will have their like moment of popularity,
right,
and then really spike the market. And we're just going, no one wanted this.
Right.
We gave it away.
Yeah.
And now they're selling and
for a lot of money.
And, yeah, and it just, your stomach turns when you see it.
Well, you know, so a little bit of backstory to that story. My first long box, my first big collection I bought when I was trying to be a dealer was an 88 long box collection, and it was from a shop that had closed, and it was multiples, and there was some good stuff in there, and there's just some absolute crap, and it happens. And there happened to be a couple books in there that at that point in time were guiding for $3, $4, $5, which again, if it's less than $5, I'm putting it in my quarter bin. And we were sending out these as grab bags on eBay, and I was putting them in my quarter bin, and I had 80 copies of X Factor number 6, and I had 50 copies of Infinity Gauntlet number 1. And the X Factor number 6, First Appearance of Apocalypse, is like $95, $100. And the first Infinity Gauntlet was $50 last time I checked. I don't even want to check right now,
yeah,
with the movie coming out and all of the above. And I gave away, like I said, 80 copies of X Factor number 6 at about a quarter a piece. And I gave away 50 copies of Infinity Gauntlet number 1. And, I mean, do I have remorse ever? No, I made my money and I bought the collection and we did okay. And I'm still in business.
Right. But you just remember that.
It is.
If you got that long box today, you'd be, you know, oh check it out. God. This is great.
If someone walked in with 80 copies of a $100 book, right, yeah, you're like, okay, cool. This is $8,000 that I can do for, you know,
whatever.
No, yeah. But I ended up getting like $40 less, $20 out of it at a quarter piece.
Right.
I mean, really, it wasn't, but it happens, yep, you know. And again, we were talking about the speculators in one of the previous ones. The movies are driving this so amazingly heavily. When they had Thanos show up at the end of that Avengers movie, we knew that it was going to be a gauntlet thing, and all of a sudden Infinity starts going up, and Infinity, right, everything Thanos, he starts going up, all those Silver Surfer,
right,
start going up. When we knew that there was that X-Men movie coming out, we saw that Apocalypse was going to be it, and all of a sudden the Apocalypse stopped starting. Right. Even when the first Iron Man movie came out, Iron Man number 1 was...
It's an affordable key.
$300, $400. It wasn't that bad. And then it spiked to $800. And now it's like $1,500. And it keeps going up and up and up. Iron Man 55. First appearance of Thanos.
How many? That's I think, within the... Really within the industry. Because you have, like, different levels. Like, you know, like, there's a ton of people in the market that want a New Mutants 98. And they look at New Mutants 98 as, like, a grail.
That's
their
pinnacle, first, right? Absolutely. First
Deadpool. I want a first level. That, you're right. But I look at that book, I'm like, geez, I used to buy that book for $20 at conventions, and people would go, why'd you pay $20 for that? So like, I've seen it so often that it's just not an exciting book. It's nice if I find one for cheap, if
absolutely
I get one. I mean, great, money's money, but I can get a cool book, maybe a better book that I like more or something. But it's different when it's a book like Iron Man 55, because as far as investors go, prior to all this, that wasn't this grail that it is now.
Right.
Because that book has spiked like no other I've seen in a long time.
Totally. You'd be able to buy a whole run of Iron Man 1 through 200 for $500, including a number one. And now all of a sudden you're paying $1,000 for the first appearance of Thanos. One book.
Right.
You know,
and that's low grade. It's not even a great looking copy yet for a grand. Like it's nice, but.
Right. Just amazing how much some of these books have gone up. But the movies are spiking it, and the reaction time is faster.
Right.
Because it used to be they announced the movie, we know who's in it, and then, you know, we're kind of like, oh, the market goes up slowly. Man, I can look on IMDb right now, and there are movies coming out in 2022
right
that we've already seen spikes from. you know, first appearance of this person who's going to be an X in such movie. First person of this person who's rumored to be in the Marvel Phase 6 or whatever. I mean, they're kind of beyond and beyond and beyond. And I mean, I guess in some ways it's nice because it is driving the market from stagnancy. And if we were just stagnant and the market never really moved and grew, you know, but I mean, did first appearance of Rocket Raccoon in what Marvel preview number 7 need to go from $20 to $750? Did the first appearance of Nebula need to go from $2 to $50? Right. First appearance of Gamora in Strange Tales 181? I mean, these are not books that were really heavily sought after, but Guardians of the Galaxy comes out and we care about Nebula and Gamora. We care about Drax. We care about Star-Lord and Rocket Raccoon. And it wasn't even like Dan Abnett's version of Guardians of the Galaxy in 2008 spiking because of that. It's like, oh, the new Guardians came out and we don't care about the original Guardians. We just care about these people in the new team that came out in 2008, but we want their first appearances. And all of a sudden we see things in the market going.
Right.
You know,
from every era.
Absolutely. It's exciting. And it's cool. I mean, and first appearance of Groot wasn't necessarily affordable before, and it was super scarce anyway. And if you can find an original one of them from the 50s, fantastic. And it's worth a ton of money because it's really, really scarce. You know?
Love it.
So it's good.
It's good. I like one of the first things you said, and I think we can kind of like maybe leave it at this. When I started buying and selling comics, because, you know, yes, I do that for a living now, as you do.
Right.
But we both started as collectors early on. Mm-hmm. And really, I think regardless of if we would consider this a profession, as a hobby, you can buy, sell, trade to grow your collection without going broke.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that's really how a lot of people do it. And those who end up with a lot of cool, like a really, really big collection that they're proud of, they mostly do it from doing just that. Like they don't just always hold the same comic books. So
if you're smart, and if you're lucky, that's a lot of it. I'm not saying that, you make the right deals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being honest is definitely going to get you farther than being unscrupulous. Absolutely. That's a big thing. So.
I think the one tip that you provided early on when I started to collect, you mentioned, you know, don't get attached to any one book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, enjoy it. Get your use out of it.
Right.
Because in a couple of years, you may not care as much about that book. There may be another book that you're interested in that's maybe even more scarce or more expensive that you would want to put that towards. And you kind of just keep building it. And the stuff that I bought from the when I started to collect, I mean, you know, because I was buying comics from you way back then.
Absolutely.
I mean, I was
I helped
really,
you get your first Hulk 181.
Right.
And I mean, it was one of those things that you really, really wanted to get a Hulk 181 to be able to get their first Wolverine. And
That's a grail book.
Absolutely. But that was one of the first books that we really focused on helping you get.
Right.
You know, and there have been other bad purchases along the way.
I've made some.
You have. So have I. It happens.
I'm not getting attached to anything. And then being okay with like, you know, past decisions. It's, you know, there's always other comic books that you can get.
Yeah.
And,
absolutely.
And, you know, not being too attached to any one will make it easier to make those decisions and then really focus on like the ones that you really want to, you know, hold dear for a long time.
Absolutely.
Maybe even invest in.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you've seen my shrine and I talk about it sometimes, but I'm a big Sandman and Death fan. I'm a big Neil Gaiman fan. And out of everything I own, the only stuff that would be really, really difficult for me to sell would be my shrine. And I have this big pile of all of the comics and all of the omnibus, and I've got statues, and I've got trades, and I have things that are autographed. And I like those, and I want them. And there's not really anything that I couldn't part with. Today at the shop, I sold an Amazing Spider-Man 50, first Kingpin.
Ooh.
And it was great. It was awesome. I actually probably had a price low for the grade. But the guy that came in to buy it has been coming in every single Wednesday for the last 3 or 4 months eyeing this book. And he just kind of looks at it. And I knew that when I sold it to him, it was something that he would enjoy. And he walked today, he pulled it off the wall, he put it down in front of me, and I'm like, is it today.
Is it time?
Right. He's like, today's the day. I've been eyeing this. I'm like, wow, did you get your tax return back? He's like, no, I just got a raise at work. And I'm like, congratulations, that's fantastic. And I can't imagine it going to a better home. And I'm so glad, because that's the type of collector that he's got his grail. He wants his grail, and he's going to keep it. He wears a Spider-Man shirt every single day. He has a Spider-Man hoodie. I mean, I totally know this guy, and he's a massive Spider-Man fan. So that's the type of thing that I'm great having. And you've owned a Tales of Suspense 39. I've never owned one. I've owned an Amazing Fantasy 15. I've had X-Men number 1. I've had Strange Tales 110. And I'm super proud of the fact that I've had some of these books, and I sold them for more than I paid for them. Maybe not as much as I could have made. But I'm very proud of the fact that I got to hold on to and own and have these books. And I can look back later. And it doesn't have to be that I've got this collection that has Green Lantern number 1 in it. I sold a Green Lantern number 1. I was really happy with making the money I did in a Green Lantern one. And it was super cool to be able to flip through and look at that actual Green Lantern number 1 in my hand. Sure. And being able to hold that piece of history, but pass it from those hands to my hands to someone else's hands. Right. That's a lot of the cool thing about this business. You know, I'm not hoarding comics. Right. The idea is, if I died tomorrow, what are my comics going to do me? Nothing. Right. I've enjoyed a little bit, and I've passed the enjoyment on to someone else. So regardless of any seller's remorse I have because of selling something for too cheap, you know, or accidentally having something in the quarter bin, I'm just happy that I get to be a part of this industry. It's a fantastic thing. It's always been a dream of mine, and the fact that I've been doing it for so long is just, it's amazing. I love getting up in the morning to go to work. I would have never gotten up early to go to any other job ever. And I got up to the shop 2 hours early today just to be able to sort comics.
To bag and board.
Absolutely. I mean, that's kind of it. I'm excited to go to work.
Who are excited to go see you.
Right. Absolutely. So it's good.
That's a good place to stop, you know? Here with Russ Bright, owner of Millgate Comics. If you are in need of a local comic book store, Russ, don't you ship everywhere?
Absolutely. I ship worldwide. You should send me an email, millgeekcomics@gmail.com. Find me on Facebook. Find me on Instagram. Find me on YouTube. But yeah, we absolutely ship. There's a new Diamond app coming out. I don't know what's going to happen, but definitely if you want to contact me, we can ship. We can set up a subscription box and make sure you never miss a comic book again.
Love it.
Yep.
Well, we do appreciate your time today. As always, I am Comic Tom, and please, geek responsibly. Nuff
said. What's your seller's regret story?
Would love to read about it in the comment section below.
Thumbs up if you like the video, and subscribe for more comic book content.